This morning, thank you, Rebecca. I'm speaking on identity. And both Rebecca and I, we know each other's stories, but we were very broken people for many years. And in that poem, she just simply says, God, put me back together. Show me who I am again. And so this morning, this topic of identity that I want to speak on has been very heavy on my heart for these last several months. Looking back on the last several years of my own life, I guess I would call what I had sort of an identity crisis. And I felt as though I lost who I was, and I began to feel like maybe I never really even knew myself. I began to doubt not just who I was, but what I believed, and I questioned why I was created in the first place. And so this morning, as we talk about identity, there are two parts to the message. The first, I want to focus on who we are in the here and now while we're living in our humanity. And then the second part will be what I'm calling identity completion. So let's pray. Lord, we come here this morning just with open hearts. God, speak to our hearts. I pray that this message that you've seen through the struggle these last several weeks with me to put this together, because I feel there's just so much to say about identity. And so I pray that my words would be clear, they would be spoken with clarity, that our hearts we'd have a new perspective in not just how we see ourselves, but how we see you and how we see other people. In Jesus' name. Tim Keller says, the Bible says our real problem is that every one of us is building our identity on something besides Jesus. Can you bring to mind this morning things that you've built your identity on besides God? I have many, and I will name a few this morning. But here's just a few that came to my mind as I was putting this message together. One would be we can put our identity in our relationship status, married or single. It can go both ways. We definitely live in a culture where singles, you know, you're married, and then people are like, well, I want to be single. And then you're single, and you're like, well, I want to be married. You know, we could put our identity in that. We can put it in our talents, our jobs, our careers. We identify who we are with what we do. Social media, this is a huge one, especially for young people. How many likes did I get on Facebook? How many likes did I get on Instagram? Who's viewing my things? How many retweets did I get? We can base our identity on our emotions or our feelings. Oh, feelings, feelings. We can base our identity on our past, our upbringing, how we grew up, whether it was bad or good. We can base them on failures or successes. And the list can go on. We live in a culture that is shouting, this specifically, define yourself by your sexuality. Define yourself by your emotions and how you feel. Since I was a teenager, I can say that identity has been something I have wrestled and struggled with, and I have often felt like I don't fit in. And where is my worth? Where is my value? The struggle with identity has often stopped me from pursuing God's will because I allowed what people said about me or what I thought they were saying about me to keep me stuck in myself, keep me stuck in my thoughts, instead of looking to what God was saying about me and what he saw. And I allowed those voices, those outside voices, to shape who I was. In Psalm 139, this will be our first scripture. I do want to say I have a lot of scripture this morning, so bear with me. But I just felt like I tried to take some out and I couldn't. As my dad often says, the Bible preaches for itself, so let's allow it to do that this morning. But in Psalm 139, verse 13, it's a very popular passage that we all are very familiar with, but I thought it was important. It says, David, he writes here, he says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And I love this last line. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. These are the words that need to shape us and tell us who we are, whose I am. He created my inmost being. That means he knows me to the very depth. He knows the core. He's woven me together. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Woven me together. All the days ordained for me, one of them came to be. David is saying, he created the very depths of me. He put me together. He formed me. He knows who I am, who I will yet be, and what I will yet do. A few months ago, I was in a restaurant with my parents, and I was actually asking my dad because I had started questioning some things that I felt like I needed answers to. And one of those questions, and this might sound like a silly thing, but what I said, Dad, you know, what's the purpose for, you know, why did God even bother to create us? You know, what was the point? And I loved his answer. And he said, why does a painter paint? Because it's in him. It's who he is. And that is the same with God. He's our creator. It's in him to want to create. And just as an artist wants to paint, he wants to create. And my dad also said this last part, which I thought was really cool, is that some things, they are left to mystery. And are we not people of, you know, curiosity? And aren't we not people who are sort of attracted to mystery? I think sometimes when you fall in love, you like somebody, you're sort of attracted to the mysteriousness of them. And that draws you to them. And I think it can be similar in our relationship with the Lord. There's a mystery that draws us to him. And there are answers to be found. It was funny because not too long after I started asking God these questions of, you know, why did you create me? God began to answer me. And I was reading in a book on prayer by Tim Keller, and he quoted Jonathan Edwards. And I thought it was really cool. He said, the only reason God would have had for creating us was not to get the cosmic love and joy of a relationship. I want to read that again. The only reason God would have had for creating us was not to get the cosmic love and joy of a relationship. Why? Because he already had that. He had that in the Son and he had that in the Holy Spirit. He already had that. But here's why. But to share it. God is other-oriented in his very core, who seeks glory only to give it to others, to communicate happiness and delight in his own divine perfections and beauty to others. He created me so that I can share in this marvelous thing we call love and joy and happiness. He created my inmost being. He knit me together for the very purpose of being able to share with me the love and joy that comes out of a relationship with him. And in my relationship with him, I begin to understand my identity. I begin to understand who I am and what I was created for. David says at the end of this Psalm 139, the last two verses, he says, and this is sort of where I want to go next, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. In the King James, the last line says, see if there be any wicked way in me. I've come to realize that there are certain sins or certain habits that I have been able, that I've not been able to overcome because I have built my identity on something else besides Jesus. I've mentioned them a few minutes ago. But there is hope that we can overcome these things. In Romans 6:6-8, it says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm using the Phillips translation here, it says, for if a man is in Christ, For if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past finished and gone. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, not even our sins can define who we are anymore. This is the gospel. This is the good news. The day that I came to know Jesus Christ, the day that I came to believe that he was the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins, that is the day my new identity came on me. That is the day I became a new person. My past does not have the right any longer to define who I am. My sins do not have the right any longer to define how I walk anymore. That's awesome. When I was reading these scriptures, I got excited because when you begin to understand, when you really grasp, you get a hold that this is my identity now. This is who I am now. It empowers you to be able to walk in the Word. Tim Keller says, so while we still have bodies which sin, sinful behaviors, they now go against our deepest self-understanding and against our new identity. My identity is no longer found within myself or in somebody else or in something else or in what I've done or what I haven't done. It is found in Christ. It's believing to our very core that I have a new identity as a Christian and living in this new identity day in, day out, day in, day out. And if I fail to walk in it, I wake up tomorrow and I walk in it anew, afresh. This morning, I want to read from C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, and there's a lot that was in that book, but I tried to minimize what I was going to quote here, but I felt like I really needed it to help us really understand how it is that we are to walk in this new identity. He explains it better than I ever could. But he says, to become a new man means losing what we now call ourselves. Out of selves, into Christ we must go. The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let him take over, the more truly ourselves we become. It is no good trying to be myself without him. Do we hear that this morning? It is no good trying to be myself without him. The more I resist him and try to live on my own, the more I become dominated by my own heredity and upbringing and surroundings and natural desires. It is when I turn to Christ, when I give myself up to his personality, that I first begin to have a real personality of my own. Until you have given up yourself to him, you will not have a real self. There must be a real giving up of self. Christ indeed will give you a real personality. The very first step, though, this is the key, is to try and forget about self altogether. Your real new self will not come as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you're looking for him. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. And this is the key. But look for Christ and you will find him, and everything, and with him everything else is thrown in. I've learned to pray differently now in regards to my identity and knowing who I am. I honestly, just a few years back, after my divorce, I just felt so lost, and I used to pray, God, just show me who I am now, because I have no clue who that is anymore. And God has sort of redirected or shifted my way of thinking. And now I pray a very simple prayer. God, show me who you are. And I leave it at that. And I sit and I listen as he draws me close. He shares his love with me, his joy, his dreams, his desires, and in complete wholeness and purity, he shows me how he sees me, and in that moment, in that very moment, I am found wholly and completely in him. When tragedy hits us, or disappointments unravel us, or sufferings, they break us to the very core. We often look to something besides Jesus to find our identity again. But Jesus is wanting to bring us closer, to know him in a greater way through our sufferings and in our pain. And in knowing him, we find our real selves and everything else. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 7, and again I'm using the Phillips translation, Yet every advantage that I have gained, I considered lost for Christ's sake. Yes, and I took upon everything as a loss compared with the overwhelming gain of knowing Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I did actual facts suffer the loss of everything. But I considered it useless rubbish compared with being able to win Christ. For now my place is in him. I am not dependent upon any of the self-achieved righteousness of the law. Anything and everything that I have tried to put in Jesus' place to find my identity, Paul says here, for his sake, to know him, I gladly give it all up. And in fact, it's garbage in comparison to be able to gain Christ. You don't understand, when I was at home reading these scriptures, I don't know how to convey these with emotion. It's just, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Why? So somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, and not that I have already obtained all this, he says, or have already attained my goal, or arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I'm telling you, when I read this, I just was like, oh! Because it was like Jesus was, I could just hear him saying, get it, take hold of it. Can you get a hold of it now this morning? Can you get a hold of this? Because if you get a hold of this, it will change your life. It will change how you see yourself. It will change how you walk. It will change how you see other people. People that annoy you, that drive you crazy. You're like, I can't stand them. God says, look at their identity. See what I'm creating in them. See what I'm building in them. Listen, they haven't arrived yet, and neither have you. Do everything, Paul says. I can't convey this enough. Do everything you can do to know him. Love. Lose it all, he says. Lose it all to gain his love and to know him. The good news of this passage right now is that this is not obtained overnight, Paul says. This gospel life, it is a process. So be patient with yourself, and by God, help us be patient with other people. Paul goes on to say in this next chapter, he says, I have learned the secret of being content in every and every situation. Paul was able to live in this place of contentment because he gave it all, because he pressed on to know Christ. His identity was not in anything he achieved or failed in, or in any person or thing. It was in Christ Jesus alone. We can have the same testimony when we walk in life. We can have the same testimony when we've learned to put our identity in Christ, to say, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. I've learned the secret. My identity is not found in you. My identity is not found in that thing. My identity is found in Christ. The last part of this message, we're going to look at something that I don't think we talk about often enough in church or really at all, because it has to do with death. We all face death. It is coming. I want to start by sharing a little bit of what it was like for me growing up. As many of you know, we moved around quite a bit. And because we moved around, that meant that I didn't get to really feel like I ever fit in. I would make friends and through sports or school or church, and it seemed like we were moving as soon as that happened. And I used to pray, again, God has shifted my prayers, but I used to pray, God, I just want to fit in. I just want to stay in a place long enough to feel like I can call it home. And now my prayers have shifted once again, and God has begun to show me some things. And instead of praying to fit in or feel like I'm at home, I've prayed just the opposite, and here's why. My home is not here. My identity and that feeling of fitting in will never fully come to completion until the day my earthly body dies and I'm at home with Jesus. That's the truth. Again, looking in Scripture, Philippians 3:20, Paul writes, And we sang it. It was part of our worship this morning in our first song. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. Verse 20, it says, He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. In 2 Corinthians 5, 2-8, it says, Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. That what is mortal, let's get this morning, that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God. Therefore, we are always confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We groan. We long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Paul says, He fashioned us for this very purpose. Have you ever gone on vacation or been away from home for a while and you sort of get that feeling of like, I miss home. I miss my bed. I miss the shower. For some of you, it's I miss my own toilet or bathroom, whatever. You know, it can be, you know, certain things that you miss. And then when you get home, you walk in the door, and you're like, ah, I'm home. As Dorothy says from The Wizard of Oz, she clicks her heels. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And I believe that this is what it will be like. It's a very poor comparison, I know, but it's the only illustration I could think of. That when we walk from this life into the next, it will be, ah, I'm home. There's no place like home. And Paul says in Philippians 1, 21 through 23, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I desire to depart and be with Christ, and this is key here, he says, which is better by far. Do we believe that this morning? To die is gain. To be with him, finally, will be better by far. At last, my identity is complete. Jerry Maguire, you don't complete me. Jesus does. I am finally all he has intended me to be. I am like him. So this morning we're going to close. I'm going to have Vic put on a song here. And for me, this has been a struggle for a really long time, and I feel like I'm just now beginning to understand and grasp, scratch the surface, so to speak, of who I am. And I pray that if you get anything this morning, the main things will be, one, that you'll search your heart and see maybe what you've placed in replace of your identity, what you've placed instead of Jesus. What is it that you've identified yourself with other than him? Because let me tell you, there will come a day when those things fall apart.
That's right.
And they do not exist.
Things fall apart.
And we have to face the fact that, oh man, that's how I was identifying myself. That's where I was putting my worth. And it can be tragic sometimes when maybe we don't have people around us to say, you know what, that's not defining you. Or it could be tragic if we really believed that that was our identity. And Satan, you know, he can come along and throw all kinds of things and distractions to say, ah, no, put it in this, then you'll be full. Then you'll feel satisfied. The thing is that you indulge in those things and you quickly realize that they do not satisfy, that they don't fill. So I pray that you get that. The second thing is that you press on. That you press on. That you take hold of that. You're good. If you understand that, you're content in every situation. Take hold. Press on. And to understand that it is a process, that it is not obtained overnight, that it is a process. It will be a lifelong process. I believe that. It will not be in 10 years I'll be good.
I can vouch for that.
It is a process. But there will, and this is the hope that we have, there will come a day when we're home.
Amen.
And our identity is complete. And I'm like him. No more striving. I'm clothed in my heavenly dwelling. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. So this morning, if there's, I want to pray. I want to pray for you. You know, identity, we can go many different directions with identity, especially now in our culture. But I just really felt in my heart this morning that God was saying, you know, get your eyes off yourself. You're not going to find it in you, because that's what our world says. Search for it within yourself. Find your happiness in you. It's not found there. I've searched, I know. It's not found there. So this morning, if identity has been something you struggled with, or you struggled with maybe being able to lay down those things that you've put in place of him, then you can either come forward or you can stay in your seat. But we're going to have this music playing. And then instead of your prayers being, you know, instead of them being, God, show me who I am, allow God to shift your perspective this morning. Say, God, show me who you are. Show me that this life here, it is a temporary life. It is not meant to be lived here on this earth forever. These bodies will, they will die. Our earthly bodies will die. So show me, God, how to live and know that the day will come and I'll be clothed in my heavenly dwelling and I'll be with you. Show me how to remember that, because that I think we forget. A lot of our messages that we hear, sermons we hear, are so often about how do we make it through this life. And I think that those are important because we need help to make it through this life. But it is also important to know that this is not the end all. This is not our final destination. So, Vic, play that. And come forward if you want prayer. Dad, if you want to come up and pray for people.